Good morning, friends. Welcome to morning worship. We open our worship by singing to God's praise hymn 210, Awake My Soul, 210. Come, let us return to the Lord, for he has torn and he will heal us. He has struck us and he will bind up our wounds. Let us pray. O Lord, our God, in this morning hour, with our hearts and minds awakening to the new day, our thoughts turn towards you, because you are our Creator, the power behind all the universe, Maker and Monarch and Saviour of all. Lord, it is with contrite hearts that we seek to return to you today, contrite because we have not been making the best use of this life and the time and the talents you have entrusted to us. Sorry for the unworthy things which have dominated our thinking, shining through in words and actions. Though we are contrite, Lord, we are also resolute and determined, because we know that you are asking us to rise to better things, to attempt greater things for you in our daily living. We seek to be ambassadors for you in the world, in all the situations in which we have to live our life. We cannot do it in our own strength. We cannot do it, Lord, without your help. Help us to know you more intimately in this earthly life. Let your coming into our life be like the morning, the promise of a new day with its opportunities and its challenge, and help us to respond to that challenge with all our heart, through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Well, friends, it's at this point that I usually welcome the young people to the church, and we don't seem to have the very young with us today. only the ordinarily young. So I had intended to speak to them about flowers today. We've got some nice flowers in the church, and how thankful we are to the people who donate the flowers and arrange them, and the people who take to do with the distribution of them afterwards to help to brighten the homes of people to whom they go. And I had a word search for the children with the names of a lot of flowers, but that'll keep for another time. So I'll put it away. What we will do just now, though, is to sing the intended young people's hymn from Junior Praise number 86, I Am Trusting You, Lord Jesus, 86. We read God's word in the Old Testament book of the prophet Haggai, and although it says the last verse of chapter 1, I'm going to begin just with the beginning of chapter 2. Chapter 2 at verse 1. Haggai chapter 2 at verse 1. On the 21st day of the seventh month, the word of the Lord came through the prophet Haggai. Speak to Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, to Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and to the remnant of the people. Ask them, who of you is left who saw this house in its former glory? How does it look to you now? Does it not seem to you like nothing? But now be strong, O Zerubbabel, declares the Lord. Be strong, O Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest. Be strong, all you people of the land, declares the Lord, and work. For I am with you, declares the Lord Almighty. This is what I covenanted with you when you came out of Egypt, and my spirit remains among you. Do not fear. This is what the Lord Almighty says. In a little while I will once more shake the heavens and the earth, the sea and the dry land. I will shake all nations, and the desire of all nations will come, and I will fill this house with glory, says the Lord Almighty. The silver is mine and the gold is mine, declares the Lord Almighty. The glory of this present house will be greater than the glory of the former house, says the Lord Almighty. And in this place I will grant peace, declares the Lord Almighty. And in the New Testament, Luke's Gospel chapter 20 at verse 27. Luke chapter 20. Verse 27. Some of the Sadducees, who say there is no resurrection, came to Jesus with a question. Teacher, they said, Moses wrote for us that if a man's brother dies and leaves a wife but no children, the man must marry the widow and have children for his brother. Now, there were seven brothers. The first one married a woman and died childless. The second and then the third married her, and in the same way, the seven died, leaving no children. Finally, the woman too died. Now then, at the resurrection, whose wife will she be, since the seven were married to her? Jesus replied, "The people of this age marry and are given in marriage, but those who are considered worthy of taking part in that age and in the resurrection from the dead will neither marry nor be given in marriage, and they can no longer die, for they are like the angels. They are God's children, since they are children of the resurrection. But in the account of the bush, even Moses showed that the dead rise, for he calls the Lord the God of Abraham and the God of Isaac and the God of Jacob. He is not the God of the dead, but of the living, for to him all are alive." Some of the teachers of the law responded, "Well said, teacher," and no one dared to ask him any more questions. And the Lord bless to us the reading of his holy word, and to his name be the glory and the praise. Hymn number 286, "Tell Out My Soul," 286. Luke's Gospel, chapter 20 and verse 39, some of the teachers of the law responded, "Well said, teacher," and no one dared to ask him any more questions. Well said, teacher. Did we ever feel like saying that to our teacher? Well said. You were right on target when you said that. That was exactly the words to answer that thorny question, to deal with that difficult problem. Well said, teacher. Well, maybe we never felt like saying that to a teacher, but people said it to Jesus. Some of the Sadducees, it was, who said that to him. Some of the scribes, rather, because they were impressed with the way that Jesus had dealt with the Sadducees. The Sadducees had been questioning Jesus in the hope of catching him out, in particular to prove that there was no such thing as the resurrection of the dead. Other people believed in the resurrection of the dead, but the Sadducees didn't. And they thought they had produced an argument which proved their point conclusively. The arguments of the Sadducees were theological, not very interesting to ordinary people, not very interesting to you and me either. But Jesus didn't just say he was not interested in them. He listened to those theological arguments and then he answered them. And the scribes said, "Well said, teacher." They admired Jesus for his ability to handle those dry theological arguments and answer them so as to shut the Sadducees up. I suppose that even you and I could derive satisfaction of a sort in that kind of way. If there are people who get on our nerves with their talk about things which are of no interest to us, people who like to hear the sound of their own voice, people who give us the impression that they know everything, no matter what subject we're talking about, no matter what contribution we're able to make to the discussion, they can go one better. We know that kind of person. It is satisfying in a way when someone like that gets put in his or her place, their argument effectively answered. "Well said, teacher." The scribes no doubt felt not only that Jesus had produced effective arguments, but that he had silenced a group of men who by their arrogant attitude were asking to be silenced. But although they had been effectively silenced, although their fine arguments had proved to be unfounded, the Sadducees could have learned something from the experience. It's always true that people can learn something from an encounter with Jesus. It was true for all those who encountered him in the days of his earthly life and ministry, and it's still true today. There were lessons for the Sadducees to learn. We do hope they did learn those lessons. There's always something to learn from an encounter with Jesus. That's because Jesus doesn't talk down to us. Jesus meets us where we are. He always meets people where they are, talks to them on their wavelength, talks in terms that they can readily understand. And that's a lesson, surely, for his followers today and in every age, a lesson for the church. If we're to be followers of Jesus Christ, then we must follow him surely in this, that he's able to get alongside people, meet them where they are, talk to them in terms they can understand. Does that mean that we have to force ourselves to be interested in the burbling talk of people who are the modern equivalent of the Sadducees? Some situations which we meet in the course of life more or less compel us to listen and try to be interested. It happened to me when I was a student that two successive summers I had a job in the local newspaper as a copy holder, partnering a proofreader. There were five proofreaders with their copy holders, and amongst us all, we had to read carefully every minute detail of everything which was going to appear in the paper. Now, I remember the reactions of two different proofreaders that I had to work with on that job. With one, we'd be dealing with details of goods for sale by a department store. Gents' underwear, ladies' underwear, all the details of the different sizes and the different styles and the different prices. And this proofreader would stop every now and then and he would say, "Oh, that's dreadful. Oh, that's embarrassing." Although it was his job to do this every week. Another proofreader apparently had no interest whatever in the flower show, if you can imagine a person with no interest in the flower show. He was reading all the minute details of the advertisement with instructions to exhibitors, and he got so bored that he drifted off to sleep, with the result that a misprint crept through undetected, and people turned up at the hall with their exhibits at the wrong time of day. Very difficult sometimes to be interested in various kinds of boring stuff. Theological arguments, sizes of underwear, flower show details, you name it. Jesus got on the wavelength of the boring old Sadducees. But that didn't mean he came to share their interest in theological argument, or even that he pretended to share it. Jesus knew the Sadducees. He got alongside them in order to offer them something better, something more worthwhile than the dry as dust theological wranglings they were so fond of. And isn't this the church's task in every generation? To get alongside people, to understand them, to talk their language, to offer them the Christian way of life. The church rightly has concern for the alcoholic and the drug addict, but that doesn't mean the church shares their interest in drink or drugs. It doesn't mean that the church's representatives get caught up in those addictions through getting close to those who are suffering from them. Maybe what we're touching on here is the most difficult part of being a Christian, the most demanding feature of seeking to follow Jesus Christ. But if we're sincere about it, if we're taking our commitment seriously, then we find that all along the way, we have the Lord's help. Jesus met and mingled with all sorts and conditions of people. There was no person of such a kind or such a state that Jesus, in the course of his earthly ministry, found it necessary to steer clear. He mingled with all sorts, but he didn't sink to their level. That tells us two things clearly. It tells us that if Jesus went about things that way in the days of his physical life, then he's still going about things the same way now. And it tells us that this is the way his followers also must go about things. Meeting people where they are, being able to talk to people of all sorts and conditions and get alongside them. It doesn't mean that each one of us has to be equally good at coping with every different kind of situation or every different kind of person. The Church of Scotland does a lot of its work through committees, and the people who serve on those committees are people with a special interest or a special aptitude for those particular aspects of the church's work. We're not all expected to do everything. For most of us, most of the time, it has to be a case of simply being informed about what the church is doing. That was the great advantage of the old style of Women's Guild branch, with its delegates for home mission, foreign mission, social responsibility, and so on. Delegates could be chosen according to their special interests, and they could keep the members informed. Things have changed, but it's still possible for us to know about the church's work, its concern for the addict, its care of the elderly, its presentation of the gospel on the frontiers of society. The church's work goes on, and you and I are involved in it. We're maybe not members of committees which deal with the great issues facing the church today, but we have issues to deal with, and our dealing with them is equally important. "Well said, teacher," they exclaimed, when Jesus effectively answered the arguments of the Sadducees. Whatever may be our situation in life, whatever may be our normal daily routine, whatever situations we may meet, there is an opportunity facing us and a challenge facing us every day in life. You and I, we may not have skill in argument. We may not be clever with words. We may often have the galling experience of thinking afterwards what we ought to have said in certain situations, if only we could have thought of what to say at the time, when the moment was there. But we do have one incomparable asset. If we commit ourselves to the Lord Jesus Christ, if we genuinely seek to be involved in his work and in the spreading of his gospel in our part of the world, then we have all his power and all his experience and all his ability available to us. That makes us able to meet with any challenge. But he does demand our best. He does need commitment from us. It is demanding. It is constant. But is there anything more worthwhile? And now to God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, be all honour and glory, now and evermore. Amen. We worship God in presenting our offering. Hymn from CH3, number 216, What Grace, O Lord, and Beauty, 216. Let us pray. Almighty God, we pray you to receive our offerings and teach us to give in every way. Teach us to give to those who have not, so that they may have. Teach us to give what we have, so that we may have more. Lead us by your own self-giving love into a life which expresses more truly the life of the one boundless giver. Lord, all around us and within us are the indications of your goodness and mercy, which never fail. We falter, but you stand firm. We need, and you supply our need. We fall, and you raise us up and set us right, and give us fresh strength for the journey, fresh enthusiasm for the task, fresh inspiration to meet the challenge of life. As you entered the human scene in Jesus Christ, we thank you for his work of saving grace and for the truth that you are saving mankind still. Not only do you save us from the evil around us and within us, the eroding of standards and the fluctuating of fortune, not only do you save us from all this, but you save us into a life which is rich and fulfilling and eternal. Thanks and praise be to our God, now and forever. We pray for the church, Lord. Strengthen it where it needs to be strengthened. Supply its need and heal its divisions so that it may better serve as your witness in the world. We pray for the nations. Let the peoples of the world come to know you and guide them in all the way that they go. Bless our Queen and the Royal House. Guide those who make laws and administer the nation's affairs. Through our people, let your word be heard, let your greatness be felt, and let your love be known. We pray for the relief of illness and suffering. Bless all the healing work which is done and attempted in homes and hospitals and places where people are ill and suffering. To those who are committed to the work of healing, give the grace to be faithful in their calling. We commend all patients to your love and care. We pray for those near and dear to us. We think of them now in your presence, Lord, and ask you to help them in the ways they need help. We commend to you those who may have wronged us or whom we may have wronged, asking you to forgive. Lord, we thank you for those who have lived this earthly life ahead of us in terms of time, and likewise for those who will come after us. Grant that we may follow good examples set for us and leave good examples for others, and bring us together to your eternal kingdom through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, world without end. Amen. Our closing praise is hymn 498, Angel Voices Ever Singing, 498.
Thank you.
Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all, this day and forevermore.